Welcome to episode 2 of Queer Identities. Ian, Aidan, and Parker discuss the importance of integrating queer knowledge into CYC curriculum.
Hi, my name is Parker, and my pronouns are they and them.
My name is Aidan, and I use he, him pronouns.
My name is Ian, and my pronouns are he and him.
And we are tired of being an afterthought in child and youth care education.
Also just all education.
Just like life. Like
in general,
everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think like in general, we want, instead of, you know, classes where we have one queer person come a year to have one discussion with us about queer people, to be included in the educational like material in all the classes.
Yeah. Kind of like for the profs to like do their research and like talk to your one queer person prior to class,
mm-hmm.
and get the information, and that way like you can integrate it into the learning the same way you do like with Indigenous stories and talking about like poverty and like race and that kind of thing, like how it is a little bit more integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like do your own work instead of getting someone else to come in and essentially do it for you.
Well, it is like not impossible to do this, because I remember in my first year, within like, I don't know, the first couple weeks of class, I remember asking something that was a very, very not okay, but I didn't even know what a residential school was at that point. Like, people were talking about it like I should have known what it was, but I never knew. And I said, why do we always talk about Indigenous people? But, like, no one's saying, why are we always talking about queer people when we should be? And, like, now I'm in a space where I know what residential schools are. I am on board with all of that education. I didn't know in first year, but I think, like, it needs to be so ingrained that people are wondering, why are we always talking about this?
Like, honestly, it does sound weird, but at this point, I wouldn't be mad if someone was like, why are we always talking about queer people?
Because
like, at least we're always talking about queer people.
Yeah.
Like, at least we're being talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just how, I'm sorry, Ian, you've mentioned this before, but how many paragraphs were in your development textbook about queers?
So in my human development textbook, in the chapter on adolescence, cognitive and physical development, there is one paragraph on LGBTQ adolescent identity. In the chapter on adolescent social and emotional development, there are three paragraphs on sexual identity,
ooh.
Nothing on gender identity, aww. And there is one little bubble that says, why the gay alphabet? And it's just them saying, we're using LGBTQ instead of like LGBTQQITTAQ2S+.
Mm-hmm.
I said Q like three times.
Yes, you did.
There are a lot of different acronyms, and they're just like, we're using this one instead of like another acronym. And I'm like,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Why the gay alphabet?
And even, in our textbook from the first year textbook of that one, like of the adolescent one, it's the same thing. There's like one paragraph of like, by the way, gay people exist. Like, that's literally like the essence of what.
That's the essence of education is, by the way, gay people exist.
Yeah, by the way.
Moving on.
Yeah.
And it's not as, it's acknowledged as if we're an afterthought. Like, let's talk about heteronormative stuff,
mm-hmm.
and talk about a family in a heteronormative sense. But then, oh, and by the way, sometimes there's lesbians who have kids. Like,
but they only mention it too, like, if someone else, like, if someone puts up their hand and goes, okay, but what about gay people? Like, I've definitely had classes where we talk about, like, heterosexual whatever. And then we move on, and then I'm like, but gay.
Like, if someone was talking about, like, relational development, even we talk about development in family systems classes, where we're discussing, like, the different developmental stages that families go through, and that, like, when parents, for example, when their kids move out and they start going through a different developmental stage, why are we not talking about development in queer families, that they may have had their family developing in different ways, where they can't just have like heterosexual sex and have kids show up? And it's not that simple for everybody, but there's a whole different ball game for having kids and acquiring kids and the different kind of, well, if you're adopting them and stuff, like, just how kids come into your life is so much different, and that I think can really change what developmental stages you go through as a family.
And also talking about development, like, when for like straight kids, the idea of like realizing your sexuality and all of that happens much younger than queer kids. Like, I know I dated this girl a little while ago who was, she was bi, and she literally, like, I was her first relationship and she was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, and that happens so often that like queer kids just everything that's supposed to happen when you're like 14, in like heavy air quotes.
Yeah.
When you're like 14, 15, 16, and you're like having crushes and kissing and all, like, doesn't happen until you're like 18, 19, 20 when you're queer for lots of people, mm-hmm. because they didn't know or they weren't able to like realize it. And so, yeah, like those development, like those kind of developmental like markers that we look for, they're like missing in a queer 15-year-old, but they're not missing. It's just they don't have the space to like express it.
And people are growing up in such a heteronormative society that like you've got adults who already have children and a relationship, and then they're coming out as trans, and then there's a whole new set of development you go through there, because then you've got like a 35-year-old person going through puberty because they're starting hormone replacement therapy, and their child is going through puberty too for whatever reason. There's all kinds of different scenarios, and we're just missing all of it by sitting back in one class and saying, all right, here's a trans person, they're going to tell you about drag or about their they're going to tell you what drag is, and they're going to tell you that queer people exist, and they're going to tell you that it's possible to have a loving family even though everybody's queer. And it's like, we're just missing so much quality content that could be just ingrained in the curriculum instead of it needing to be like this othering, tokenized thing.
It also like definitely needs to be better integrated and like put in, because I remember, can I talk about our midterm?
Yes.
Okay.
You can talk about the midterm.
Okay. No, so what happened is on our midterm for our like development class, there was a question about the like development of kids who have queer parents, and like just the general like how they develop.
And it said same sex parents.
Oh yeah, same sex parents. First of all, but anyways, and the choices, a multiple choice, and the choices were that they developed the same as, earlier, better, or later, or like worse. And after the right answer is that they develop
the same.
Yeah, it's like the same like development wise. I think she said like 40% or something absolutely ridiculous said that it was worse or late, like they developed slower or later than, and she was like, I'm horrified. Like that, like she was like, the research has been for the last like 30 fucking years that is not like true. But because it's just not like put in the textbooks or the curriculum, or it's not like meant, like, because honestly, I don't even think she mentioned that in class. So like, I just knew that offhand, but like the rest of the class didn't, because it wasn't talked about. But if it was talked about, like probably 40% of class would not have thought that children with queer parents develop slower than the rest of them.
Oh, bisexual people are ignored. Like there's
well, only bisexuals,
like,
though.
Only bisexuals. There's like, so many different identities that are just like invisible and that we're not even acknowledging exist. Like there's so many couples who, for example, is called like straight passing, where it's like a femme person and a masculine person, or like big air quotes, a boy and a girl who
big
are,
air quotes,
I know, in a relationship, but one or more of those people in that partnership could be identifying as queer in any way. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about that. We're assuming that because it's a man and a woman, big air quotes, a man and a woman, that they're heterosexual.
Yeah.
And then their identity is being erased. And it might not seem like a big deal because being in a straight passing relationship is like a privilege type of thing. However, people...
But privilege, also like erasure is not privilege.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like Ian passing as a cis man is not... I mean, it is in a certain context, but also like that's just his entire identity being like erased.
And exactly,
like,
yeah.
Oh, well, like... You're passing, so like you don't face, you know, like the your, you know, like your whole thing is just like whatever, like you can't, you're not allowed to be in this podcast anymore because like people think you're cis. Like,
get out of here. Ian.
It's the beard, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a nice beard.
It is a really nice beard.
Super jealous. but yeah, like people's identities are just being ignored, and if they're not making waves, they're not being noticed in class. And so if for example, like a person of color, if a person of color in class doesn't put up their hand and say, hey, this is problematic, no one's doing anything about it. No one's teaching that it's problematic. If there's not a trans person in class standing up for trans rights and like to learn about trans people, nobody's learning about trans people. If there's not a person in the class, and there will be other people in the class who can do those teachings, but it's not our job.
we're not the ones. Yeah, like, it's okay for trans people and people in general to be like, hey, I'm open to people asking me questions. But so many people don't want to do that. They just want to live their life and be trans. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and they shouldn't be obligated to educate people because professors or teachers or instructors or whoever isn't integrating the knowledge properly.
Mm-hmm. There's also the issue of those stats are often incorrect. Like, mm-hmm. because this isn't a visible identity, like, it's so easy to hide your queer when someone's asking you. You're like, no. I'm cisgender. I'm straight. Don't beat me up.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to be in this bathroom. Please don't kill me.
Yeah.
But like, when doing statistics for person of color youth, unless they're quote unquote white passing, they can't hide that they're a person of color. So all those statistics have at least some accuracy, whereas for queer people, it's totally skewed because you can say, no, I'm not queer, or you can say, yes, I'm abused, but I'm not queer, or you can say, I'm queer, but no, I haven't been abused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, it's so much easier to hide those things, and...
For safety.
Well, exactly. It's not even that, like, we're doing it out of, like, I don't want to tell people that I'm queer, which, I mean, like, is also valid. But almost always, especially because these survey, or these, like, statistics and stuff are focused on, like talking about being abused or like discrimination or like generally negative things. Usually there's like one question, like, are you happy being queer? Like, you know, but usually it's like talking about your negative opinions. Like why would you feel safe to like talk about? Cause usually what also happens is that the person interviewing you or surveying you is not, you don't like trust them as a safe person. Like that, it's like,
you don't know them.
Right. Like you don't know them. And like, especially for like youth, I think it's so much that are like, I know, like now I'm like, oh, whatever, like I'll tell people that I'm trans. When I was 15, especially, I was like at school where it was my safe place, I was like, yes, I'll like be out. But to a random like surveyor, like stranger, I was like, no, thank you. Like I'm teeny tiny and I don't want to get beat up. Like, you know, not my plan for the day.
We're just trying to live our lives and stay safe.
Yeah.
And I think that it shouldn't be such an ask for us to be able to go to school in child and youth care. And it's not an ask for us to be safe.
Yeah.
And I think that in order for us to stay safe and to have our identities asserted and to have our identities being valid and honored, it's going to take our professors sitting down and doing a little bit of professional development. And it's our job as students to be able to share our knowledge and make it known that we have the information that we can teach, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've done presentations at school about things that I know about, and that's fine, but it shouldn't just be up to the queer students to be standing in front of the classroom and giving a presentation once a year. Yeah. I think that professional development needs to happen within, like, for individual teachers and as a system in those programs to be doing really intense PD to be able to learn where can I get the educational materials that are going to highlight
so that we don't end up being like a footnote, like, oh, yeah, by the way, like we were saying, gay people exist.
Yeah, like, so that we're able to highlight our identities and include them in the curriculum.
It would be nice to not be the teacher just one time.
Just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.